last week's parsha was Parsha Shmini. And the parsha begins, Vayibayim HaShmini, it was on the eighth day, Kora Moshe the Aharon of the Vanav of the Tikna Yisrael, Moshe called Aharon and his children and the elders of Yisrael. This was the day that the Mishkan was erected. The eighth day of the Miluim. And we know that eight is a very important number in Yiddishkeit. Bris Mila takes place on the eighth day. Chanukah is 8 days. Sukkot is 8 days. And then here, the Chanukah HaMishkan, the inauguration of the Mishkan, took place on the eighth day of the Miluim. Many different explanations have been given as to the importance of the number eight. And I would like to offer an explanation. Later on in the parsha, we have the story of Nadav and Avihu, how they offered a strange fire on that tremendous day, and the fire emanated from heaven and entered their nostrils and consumed their neshama, and they died. And Chazal offer different reasons why Nadav and Avihu died, why Hashem put them to death. And one of the reasons the Chazal give is mipnei shelo nosu noshim, is because they never married. And Chazal seem to be very difficult, because the pasuk tells us what the reason is. The pasuk says the reason they were killed is because they offered a strange fire that they weren't commanded. Eish zara shelo tzivo isam. So how can Chazal give us a reason that seems to be different than what the Torah is giving us? How can Chazal say that the reason is because they never married? This past week's parsha was also Parshas Parah. Parshas Parah is a chukah. Zois chukas ha-Torah, to the decree of the Torah. Decree meaning it's a mitzvah without a reason, without a logical reason. And the Sfarim explained that the most difficult part to understand about the Parah Adumah is how it's mitara tameim and mitamei tohirim. That at the same time that it purifies those that are tamei, it contaminates those that are tohir. So let's try to get some understanding about the importance of Parah Adumah being a decree and what it means to be Metamah Tameim and Metamah Tohir. Chazal tells us that a woman has Bina Yisera. A woman has extra understanding. It's an intuition of the truth. What is this? What is this Bina Yisera? Now we know that Zohar and Akeva, the male and female, represent a benefactor and beneficiary, a mashpia and a makabel. The Zohar is mashpia, he's a benefactor, and the Nekeva is the beneficiary, she's a makabel. In the Sifrei Kabbalah, it's referred to as Oireis and Kalim. Oireis means illuminations. That's the mashpia is illuminations, and then there's the mekabel represents the keli, the receptacle for the illuminations. And what that means on a practical level is that it is the nature of men to to pursue, to achieve, to love, to be anxious, to pride themselves, to be, they have a drive to be victorious, to bond, to rule, to control, to intellectualize. There's a drive that is somewhat incontrollable. The man doesn't necessarily have control to be able to align and to be mitzamtzem, to contract their koiches and their oiris. What we're calling it is oiris, it's illuminations, so that it should be controlled and refined. It's like an illumination without a vessel. It's oiris without a keli. And the reason for this is because man is self-absorbed. And all the man is looking for is to do what's good for me. What am I going to do? It's going to be good for me. That's going to make it better for myself. And both emotionally and mentally, man gets very invested into what he's doing, what he wants to do, to the point that it becomes out of control. The woman has the innate ability to, and this is called Bina Yisera, to be able to zero in and to focus on what is the Rotzen Hashem. Man becomes so involved himself, and everything we mentioned can be spiritual pursuits. I want to become closer to Hashem. I want to be better. I want to learn Kol HaTorah Kula. I want to. It could be the drive of a man can all be in the area of spirituality. But the man is so consumed in self that we forget to think about what does the Rabbeinu Shlom want. And the Bina Yisera of the woman is to get all of the self out of the picture and to focus on what is the Ratzon Hashem. And thereby, the woman takes all those illuminations and creates a vessel for them so that they're actually applicable and they are used constructively. We find in Navi that there was a man whose name was Manoach, the father of Shimshon HaGibor. And the Navi tells us a whole story of how Manoach's wife was in the field and an angel appeared to her and told her that she's going to have a child. And she went and called her husband out to the field, and the angel reappeared to them and spoke to them. And they offered, and when he told them that they're going to have a child, they offered a sacrifice. And as the smoke of the sacrifice was ascending, the person that was talking to them ascended with the smoke, and they realized at that time that this was an angel. Manoach had a total meltdown. We're going to die. We're going to die. We saw Hashem. We're going to die. It was a tremendous yira. But then the voice of Bina Yisera his wife says to him, "Luchafetz Hashem lahamisenu lo yilakach miyadenu oyla mincha." If Hashem would want to kill us, He wouldn't have accepted from us our sacrifice. Manoach was so absorbed in himself, "I'm going to die, we're going to die," that he wasn't thinking about what is the Ratzon Hashem. And it took his Bina Yisera, his wife, to come along and say, "One second, Manoach, there's a Rabbeinu Shalom. There's a Ratzon Hashem. What does Rabbeinu Shalom want? He obviously doesn't want us to die because he accepted our korban." That is the function of a wife in Yiddishkeit. She's able to take all the illuminations of the Mashpia and to be mitzamtzem them, to contract them, and to make them useful by focusing on what is the Ratzon Hashem. The Bina Yisera is the understanding, the innate intuition of being able to hear and to understand what is the Ratzon Hashem. And this, I believe, is what transpired with Nadav and Avihu. Nadav and Avihu had a tremendous drive to become closer to the Rabbeinu Shalom. The Karvasam Lefnei Hashem. They wanted to become closer to the Rabbeinu Shalom. And they did whatever they could to become closer to Hashem, offering a fire, a strange fire, that they weren't commanded to do. They were so involved in them wanting to be closer to Hashem that they didn't think about, well, what does the Rabbeinu Shalom want? It was Asher Lo Yitzivo Isam. Hashem didn't command this. It wasn't the Ratzon Hashem. But they weren't focused on the Ratzon Hashem. They were focused on their drive to become closer to Hashem. Had they had a wife, their wife would have created a keli for their enthusiasm. The wife would have created a vessel for their iris. Their wife would have told them, "It's gevaldik that you want to be so close to Hashem, but let's think about what the Rabbeinu Shalom wants." So of course the reason that they died was as written in the Torah, "Va'krivam eish zora shelo tziva isam." But Chazal say, but why did they do it? Because they didn't have a wife with a Bina Yisera to help them to create a vessel for their enthusiasm and to explain to them that, think about what is the Ratzon Hashem? What does Hashem want? One of the most successful tactics of our Yetzirah is that the Yetzirah makes us believe that the answer to our problems is elsewhere. Or that we want to have is not where we are now, it's elsewhere. And that's why a man, by nature, will want to change his position. He'll want to move, go somewhere else, in order to solve his problems. If a man would have Bina Yisera, Bina is the understanding that if Hashem would want you elsewhere, then you would probably be elsewhere. What is the Ratzon Hashem? Bina is always the understanding of what is the Ratzon Hashem. The Ratzon Hashem is be where you are now. the solution to your problem is where you are, not elsewhere. Find it within yourself. There's a famous verse, I'm not sure who it's from, that when Moshe Rabbeinu was approaching the burning bush, Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Asurana ve'eras amara agad lazeh." Let me deviate and go look. What is this tremendous vision? And Hashem said to him, "Al tikrav alayim." Don't come closer. Shal na alecha me'al reglecha. Take your shoes off your feet. Ki amokem asher ato imed olav ad maskoy deshu. The place that you're standing on is holy ground. Meaning, there's no need to come over here to get kedusha. Take off your walking shoes. The place that you're standing on is holy ground. Find kedusha where you are. But you need bina for that. Without bina, man is all over the place. Svarim HaKadoshim tell us that bina is represented by number 8. Because there are 7 midas, 7 emotions, chesed, gvura, tiferes, netzach, hoyd, yisoid, and malchus. So if you go from bottom up, malchus, yisoid, hoyd, netzach, tiferes, gvura, chesed, then the one above that is bina. In intellect, there's keser, chachm, and bina. So from bottom up, the 8th one is bina. 8 represents bina. It represents this understanding of what is the Rotzen Hashem. The Rotzen Hashem is that you should be where you are now. Because if the Rotzen Hashem would be that you should be elsewhere, then you would be elsewhere. According to this, we can understand why Bris Milah is on the 8th day. The Bris Milah is a mitzvah that is performed on the organ of Hashpah, of the Zohar. And as the Rambam says, the reason for Bris Milah is to minimize the desire to control the taiva, which is to control the shefa, that it should only be used for the Ratzon Hashem. It represents this midah of bina, that the shefa, the illuminations, the oiras have to be controlled. They have to be controlled by contemplating, by focusing on what is the Rotzen Hashem. And so it's performed on the 8th day, indicating that what Bris Milah is all about is Bina, controlling the Shefa. The Yontav of Sukkos is 8 days. The entire Yontav of Sukkos, we're going out to the Sukkah to bask in the Tzila de Mehemenusa, in the shade of the Shechina. And so, when the 7 days are over, a man goes into his house and he thinks that now I'm bereft of Shechina because I don't have a Sukkah. But Sukkah doesn't bring Ashras Ashkina. It's not because I'm going elsewhere. That's giving me Ashras Ashkina. The reason why there's Ashras Ashkina in the Sukkah is because that was the Ratzon Hashem. The Ratzon Hashem is that we should build a Sukkah on Sukkahs. That causes Ashras Ashkina. The boards and the Schach don't cause Ashras Ashkina. It's because that is the Ratzon Hashem that brings Asharas Hashchina. So you can now go into your house and fulfill the Ratzon Hashem, and you'll have Asharas Hashchina in your house. You don't have to go anywhere. But that requires Bina. It requires Bina to realize that all we have to do is tap into the Ratzon Hashem, and we'll have Asharas Hashchina where we are. So that eighth day of Sukkot, when we go back into the house, is that Shmini Atzeres. It's the day of Bina. Understanding that whatever we just experienced for the last 7 days is all because it was the Ratzon Hashem, and we can have that in our own home. We don't have to go anywhere for that. The menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, Rashi says in Parshas Emor, Mechutz the Parechas HaEdus, Rashi says the menorah was Edus L'chol Boy Olam Shashchina Shoyde B'Yisrael. It was a testimony to the entire world that the Shechina dwells among Klal Yisrael. That the Shechina dwells in the Mishkan? No, that's not what it says. Shashchina Shoyde B'Yisrael. You don't have to go to the Mishkan to experience Asharas Hashchina. You can have Asharas Hashchina in your own home. That's what the menorah represents. You don't have to go anywhere, because all it depends on is Ratzon Hashem, fulfilling the Ratzon Hashem. That gives us Asharas Hashchina. And so Chazal instituted Ner Ishu Beisoy, that every household should light a candle. Ner L'chol Echad V'Echad. Because there is Asharas Hashchina in every Yid, as long as we observe and fulfill the Ratzon Hashem. But that requires Bina. So Chanukah, the Yontif that we bring the Menorah into our own homes, indicating that we understand that we don't have to go anywhere for Asharas Hashchina. It's where we are. Because the Ratzon Hashem is where we are. Chanukah is 8 days. And that's why they instituted to say, B'nei Vina, the people of Bina, Yemei Shemoyna Kavushir Anonim, they established a Yontav of 8 days. Because 8 is Bina. The same applies to the Chanukah HaMishkan. The Chanukah HaMishkan, the inauguration of the Mishkan, took place specifically on the 8th day. Because the Pasuk says, V'asu li migdash v'shachanti b'soicham. They should make for me a sanctuary and I will dwell within them. It doesn't say I will dwell within it. I will dwell within toich kol echad v'yechad mi'Yisrael. The Rebbeinu Shalom says, I dwell within each and every Yid. That's what the Mishkan represents. Not that we have to go to the Mishkan to have Asharas Hashchina. Asharas Hashchina is where we are. And that's why it had to take place on the 8th day, because Mishkan requires Bina. Bina to understand you don't have to go elsewhere for your Kedusha. Your Kedusha is within you. And that's the concept of a chukah. A chukah, zois chukas ha-toyre, is the understanding is that the tzivui Hashem, the ratzon Hashem, is what brings tahara, is what brings purity. Not the parah aduma. The parah aduma doesn't bring purity. Quite the contrary. The parah aduma can cause tumah. So what brings tahara? Tahara is brought about, purity is brought about through the Ratzon Hashem. Hashem says to take this parah aduma ashes and sprinkle it on a tamei person, and that person becomes tahor. Not because para aduma water has any magical purity in it. It's because the Ratzon Hashem brings purity. It's the commandment of the Ribbono Shel Olam that brings purity. And the proof is that the para aduma water can contaminate someone else. There's a story that Rabbi Shaila Kedestira. Rabbi Shaila Kedestira was a tremendous Baal Maifas. And there was a Yid that was suffering from a terrible stomach ailment, stomach disease. And the doctors couldn't figure out what to do with him. So he went to Rabbi Shaila. And Rabbi Shaila Reb Shaila asked his Rebbetzin to please bring in a coffee. And he told the Yid, drink this coffee. The Yid said, Rebbe, the doctors told me that coffee is the worst thing for my stomach. Reb Shaila said, drink the coffee. The Yid drank the coffee and was instantly healed. He never had a no zecher from the disease at all. Tremendous mifus. Came back to his own town. The doctors couldn't figure out how in the world he was healed. We know. Emunas Chachamim. Clearly, it was the mifus at Rav Shaila. There was a Yid in another village that heard that he had a similar stomach disease. And the doctors had given up. And he heard that there was a Yid in this neighboring village that was healed from the disease. So he came to, and he asked this Yid, what did you do to be healed? So he said, I went to Reb Shaila. Reb Shaila told me to drink a coffee, and I was healed. Coffee? The doctors told me that coffee is the worst thing for my stomach. So he said, listen, I can't explain this to you. I'm just telling you what happened. I drank a coffee, and I was healed. Okay, so the Yid made himself a coffee, and he drank it. And he almost found himself in the other Mamas. The coffee caused his stomach to go berserk. It was, as the doctors predicted, the coffee is the worst thing for him. So this Yid with Mamish, his situation deteriorated. So they went to Reb Shaila. And they told Reb Shaila what happened. Reb Shaila said to him, what, are you crazy? You're drinking a coffee? The doctors say that a coffee is the worst thing for your disease. How dare you drink a coffee? So he said, Rebbe, please tell me what to do. Shaila said, drink a coffee. He drank a coffee and he was healed. Healing doesn't come from the coffee, and purity doesn't come from the paraduma. It has to do with what the Ratzon Hashem is. Ratzon Hashem is what brings Tahara and Kedusha and purity. We don't have to go anywhere to achieve it. I was telling this over to the Israel Cement, and he told me that perhaps this is why the mitzvah of Para Aduma was given in Mara. Mara was the place where Bnei Yisrael came to, and the water was bitter. They couldn't drink the water. So Hashem said to take a tree, told Moshe to take a tree and throw it into the water, and the water became sweet. The water is bitter. The tree is bitter. But yet the water became sweet when he threw the tree into the water. Did the tree make the water sweet? Of course not. It was the tzivui of the Ribbono Shel Olam that made the water sweet. That's what a chukah is about. That's what Para Aduma is about. It has nothing to do with the Para Aduma. It has to do with the Ratzon Hashem. That's what Bina is. Bina is to zero in. And what is the Ratzon Hashem? That's the tafkid of a Jewish woman. she has the intuition, the Bina Yisera, to know what is the Ratzon Hashem, to be able to contract the oiris of her husband so that they should be aligned with the Ratzon Hashem, so that there shouldn't be an Eish Zara Asher Loitziv Oisa. So they wish to help him that through the Koyach of Shmini, the eighth Koyach, which is the Koyach of Bina, of always focusing on what is the Ratzon Hashem, that we be Zoichet HaShros HaShchina to the Mishkan Hashem, to the Binyan Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi. Not that only there is HaShros HaShchina. We can have HaShros HaShchina where we are right now. When we realize that right now the Ratzon Hashem is for us to be in Golus, where we are now. If we would have that Bina, that they should have a telephone, that we should hotake, rebuild the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi, and we'll have HaShros HaShchina 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 HaShchina